Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're getting into something that, well, it affects pretty much everything you see online, on TV, everywhere, really. The target audience.
Yeah, it's a huge topic.
It is. And if you've ever had that slightly weird feeling, you know, where an ad or a movie trailer just seems a little too perfect for you.
Like it was made just for you.
Exactly. Well, that's not an accident. There's a whole science behind it, and that's what we're diving into today. The source material that explains how media companies figure out who we are and what we want.
And it's really about moving beyond just guesswork. We're talking about a process called audience segmentation.
Right.
Which is basically the foundation of all of this. It's
yeah.
the process of taking this massive general audience and breaking it down into smaller, much more specific groups based on things they have in common.
So it's not about trying to appeal to everyone at once.
Not at all. The mission is to use research, actual data, to find the exact group of people who will be most interested in your product. It's really about engineering success rather than just, you know, hoping for it.
Okay, so let's dig into that. How do they actually do it? What are the buckets they put us in? It has to be more than just people who live in the city.
Oh, it's way more detailed.
Yeah.
And the tools they use have gotten so sophisticated. The source material lays out six main categories that they use to sort of build a profile.
Six. Okay. What's first?
Well, you start with the two most basic ones, but they're still incredibly important. Age groups and gender.
The classics.
The classics, yeah. But think about it. The way a teenager uses social media versus someone who's retired, it's a different world. Age isn't just a number. It tells you about shared experiences, what technology they're comfortable with, you know?
Right. Their whole frame of reference is different. So age and gender give you that broad structure.
Yeah.
But that doesn't tell you much about someone's daily life or, I guess, how much money they have to spend.
Exactly. And that's where the next three categories come in. You've got occupation and income, then education, and finally, location.
Okay, so that paints a much clearer picture.
A much clearer one. Are we talking to a doctor in a big city with a lot of disposable income? Or a student in a college town? That information immediately changes everything. The price of the product, where you advertise it, everything.
But today, so much of our life is online. My location doesn't always dictate what I'm interested in.
You've hit on the most important one. The final category is interests and lifestyle. And this has, like, become the real engine for all of this.
Ah, so this is where it gets personal.
This is where it gets very personal. This is what we call psychographics, not just demographics. It's about your hobbies, your values, what you search for online. It's not just that you're 30 years old, it's that you're 30 and you've been searching for, say, sustainable travel gear.
So for you, the listener, think about that next time you're on a streaming service. The show it recommends isn't just because of your age. It's your age, your location, and the fact that you've watched three historical documentaries in the last month. That combo is the key.
So connecting this to the bigger picture, why do companies go through all this trouble? It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, what's the payoff?
It all comes down to efficiency and success, really. The research points to three huge benefits for any business that does this right.
Okay, this is where the theory turns into, you know, actual money and new ideas.
For sure. The first big one is product customization.
Meaning you can actually tweak the product itself.
Yes, exactly. Instead of creating a product and then trying to find an audience for it, you find the audience first and then build the product to meet their specific needs. You're refining it based on what you know they already want.
That makes so much sense. And the second benefit must be about advertising.
It is. It's marketing effectiveness. Think about it. If your research shows your target audience is never going to buy a sports car, you just don't show them ads for sports cars.
You're not wasting money talking to the wrong people.
You're not.
Yeah.
You focus your resources only on the people who are most likely to be interested. The return on investment goes way, way up. It's just a much smarter way to spend your money.
Okay, so better products and smarter ads. What's the third one?
The third one is maybe the most interesting. It's about identifying new products. When you slice the audience up this finely, you sometimes find these little groups, these untapped markets that everyone else has missed.
Because they were just lumped into the general audience before.
Precisamente. And then you can develop a whole new product just for them. It's innovation that's driven by real data, not just a gut feeling in a boardroom.
So the research more than pays for itself. Okay, let's shift from the strategy to the creative side. How does knowing all this about me change the actual film I watch or the ad I see? Does it really change, like, the colors they use?
Oh, absolutely. It influences literally every creative decision. The characteristics of the audience directly shape the design and the language of the final product.
How so?
Well, take age-based design. A website designed for a teenager is going to use fast cuts, trendy colors, probably a lot of video. One designed for a senior citizen might prioritize, large, clear fonts and simple navigation.
So it's not just about what they like, it's about what's physically easy for them to engage with.
It is. And then you have the other factors, things like occupation, location, education. They have a huge influence on the language, the imagery, the cultural references you use.
You have to speak their language, basically.
You have to. The source material gives this perfect example of an expensive restaurant in a very wealthy neighborhood.
Right.
The segmentation is crystal clear. High income, specific location. So what does that mean for their advertising?
It has to be elegant, refined.
It has to be.
Right.
The menu, the website, the photos, everything has to communicate luxury and exclusivity. If they used loud, flashy colors or informal language, it would feel wrong. It would actually repel their target customer.
That's a great example of how the research becomes a real tangible thing. Okay, let's get even more specific. There's a case study in the source material that breaks this down so well, the hold my hand theme.
Yes, this one is fantastic because it shows segmentation in action within the same campaign. The core message was the same for everyone. It was about feeling inspired, about showing these magical holiday moments. They have this uplifting soundtrack, a really positive, energetic vibe.
A magical holiday moment means something very different to a family with young kids than it does to a retired couple.
And they knew that. That's the key. So they didn't just make one ad. They kept the music and the general theme, but they filmed totally different versions for their different target segments.
So let's break them down. Version one was for the family audience, right? It showed a little boy holding his parents' hand.
Exactly. And everything about that version is designed to evoke warmth, safety, the idea of making precious memories. The focus is on that feeling of connection.
It's pulling at the heartstrings of the parents watching.
Absolutely. Then you have version two, which was aimed at younger couples.
A young man and woman, and the feeling there is totally different.
Completely. The visuals there are probably more about adventure, discovery, maybe more exotic locations. The editing is probably faster. It's about excitement and experience, which is what that segment is often looking for.
Okay, and then there was a third one, an older couple.
Right, the couples version.
Yeah.
And here, the visuals would shift again. It's not about wild adventure anymore. It's more likely to be about comfort, elegance, maybe a quiet, beautiful dinner or a cultural experience.
It's a quieter kind of magic.
It's a quieter kind of magic. And what this shows is that segmentation isn't about excluding people. It's about speaking to each group in a way that feels authentic to them. And because of that, you get much, much better engagement across the board.
That really brings it all together. So just to recap, we've defined audience segmentation. We've walked through the six key categories they use, from demographics to, those crucial lifestyle interests.
Right, and we covered the three big benefits: better products through customization, more effective marketing, and discovering totally new markets.
And we ended with that hold my hand example, which just shows so clearly how the research on paper becomes the final creative you see on your screen.
And I think the whole journey shows just how deeply research informs design, down to the smallest detail. And that brings up a final thought for you, the learner, to sort of chew on.
Okay.
If you were launching a new product and your main target segment was defined by interests and lifestyle, let's say it's for serious competitive cyclists, which of the other categories we talked about, age, income, or location, which one would be the most critical secondary factor to get right to make sure your targeting actually works?
That's a good question. Something to think about next time an ad feels a little too perfect.
Oh.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.